From the bustling streets to the quiet corners, every town in Ireland has a story to tell. I'm Alison Curtis, and in this series, we're hitting the road to uncover the heart and soul of communities across the country. We'll be meeting people who make these places special, hear their challenges and triumphs, and celebrate the unique spirit that makes each town its own. So buckle up and join me as we discover the magic of my town, only on Today FM. Welcome back to My Town, where we embark on a journey to uncover the hidden gems and treasures of Irish communities. Today, we set sail for Inishturk Island, a remote gem 14 kilometres off the coast of Mayo, where the vibrant community thrives amidst breathtaking scenery. Inishturk lies between the bigger islands of Inishboffin and Clare Island, home to about 60 people, just 5 kilometres by 2.5 kilometres in size. It really punches above its weight. It may be small, but it has a big heart. Its name comes from the Irish name Inishturk, meaning Island of the Wild Boar. The boars may be gone these days and replaced by the sheep. I'm making my way to Inishturk from Louisburg via passenger ferry, the Pirate Queen, and I'm delighted to be joined by the captain, young Oisin Gray.
Life on the open seas is, it's changing every day. You can't predict it, but that's what I love about it, honestly, is every day is different.
He's only 25 and maybe looks more like a boy band member than the usual grizzled stereotype of a ship skipper.
Whether it's weather or your schedules or whichever vessel you're on, every day is different. And the islanders know that. Every day on the island is different as well. It's just a very dynamic place to live.
It's a beautiful day for the journey to Inishturk. It is cold but bright. And from what I've heard, it seems like quite the vibrant place to live.
I'm 25 years old now. I started working on boats at a very young age. I'm from Letterfrack in Connemara there, and our family business is a scuba diving centre. So I would have grown up driving boats and on the water and under the water. And that was my connection to Inishturk was we ran diving trips out to Inishturk here, out to Inishturk, Clare Island and Inishboffin there as well. And then when I was about 18, 19, finished school, and I went down to Cork to the National Maritime College and I got my Officer of the Watch ticket. And then I went on to get my Master 500 ticket to be the captain of a ferry.
That's fascinating. It sounds like Inishturk attracts people who are ready for an adventure. And what is it about Inishturk that you love the most?
You won't find this anywhere else. Looking back at Connemara here behind us and then out to Inishboffin, Inishturk, Clare Island and Hackle then beyond to the north, you won't find anywhere else like it. And the pace on the islands, the pace of life on the islands is something you'll never see anywhere else. Everyone is so hospitable and welcoming, no matter where you're from or who you are, they'll welcome you in and they'll always want you to come back as well.
You know, one of those things that strike me about Inishturk is the incredible sense of community. What is it about the people here that makes them so close and special?
From whether it's Connemara or the islands or Mayo, even rural Mayo, you always somebody to call straight away. If your electricity goes, you have to be able to figure it out yourself. If your engine breaks down, you have to be able to manage. And the islanders are an amazing example of that. If something breaks or something isn't working or they need something made, they'll just get on and put their heads together and figure it out. They're incredibly practical.
It's truly inspiring to hear about the strength and resilience of this community. But I'm also curious, are there any challenges or concerns that you have for the future of Inishturk?
There isn't many jobs and it's not a very attractive location for young people at the moment, but it's possible for it to change. Whether that's employment or grants or schemes or housing is a big thing. People my age can't afford housing at the moment and there's plenty of land here on the islands and there is grants and schemes in place if they were to promote those more and promote the islands as a holiday destination, but also a destination where you can come and live.
Here, Inishturk. The journey was a little bit rougher than expected, but the sight of this beautiful island has made it all worthwhile. First, I'm meeting the island manager, Sinead Callahan. We're going to go for a lovely walk around the island together, and she's going to show me some of the sights.
I love this road, but it's very narrow and has stonework on both sides. It's so lovely. And do the sheep outnumber the people?
That's one of our little beaches just down there.
Oh, lovely.
So a lot of the locals would take a dip there.
So tell me about yourself.
So I'm Sinead Catalan. I'm from Tipperary originally. Mm-hmm. I moved out to the island last January. And my title is I'm the island manager or the development officer of the island.
The story of how you came across this job is quite lovely.
Yeah, so I always wanted to work on one of the islands.
Yeah.
But I'm not a Gaelgor, so I don't have the Irish. So I was in a meeting and somebody passed it over in a piece of paper and said, I think that's your job.
Right.
That's your dream. And I did the interviews.
Yeah.
And I hadn't even been on the island ever.
You hadn't set foot on it when you took
no,
the job?
No.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I said, okay, we've got to be real here. So I waited and then I came out to see it. But I knew past St. Clair Island back here that this was...
The one for you.
Yeah, this was my next step in life.
So you mentioned you moved all around the world. Was Inishturk any different?
Moving to Inishturk was the biggest move I ever made.
Right.
Because it's a different mindset.
Yes.
You have to plan everything.
Yeah.
3 weeks out. It's 9 miles back to the mainland.
Yeah.
You can't forget anything.
That's what I was wondering about. Like yeah. If you're halfway home and you're like, that milk, or you open up the milk, you're like,
ugh. Yeah. And you can't, you know, drop into an Apple Green and fill up your car. You think about that 2 weeks before you get there.
Yes.
Petrol.
Right.
Yeah. So it's all a bit different. There's a lot of planning. There's an Inishturk layer of complication to everything.
Okay.
So you can't put petrol in your car. So you have to go out with your drum, bring it in. And then get somebody to help you pump it into your car. So
right. There's
a complication to everything, like our restaurant. And like one day during the summer, the food delivery was late to Runa.
Yeah.
And we had 100 people on the island for food.
Oh, God.
So the chef has to be really resilient.
Like and radishes for everyone.
Well, everybody got fed. Everybody was happy. But you have to have a plan B, have a backup plan all the time.
Right.
And you also have to think of your feet.
And Sinead, what about the fact that it is such a small community? We've mentioned this a few times. We're in the school. It's only 3 students. But you must have a great deal of connectivity together, but also resilience when it comes to your lifestyle.
Absolutely. Yeah. So everybody works as a team. Everybody moves together. We just did the Pride of Place together. We didn't come first, but we got an honourable mention for how our community builds a sustainable future together.
Right.
So as we passed the club, that was built with small grants by the hands of the community.
Right.
The most recent project was the 2 cottages. Mm-hmm. Again, small little grant kickstarted it.
Yeah.
But the community comes together, did the fundraisers, they're looking to the future. They want the island to survive.
Yeah, of course.
So they'll come together and work on any given project.
Yeah.
And they all put their backs into it and they all come together and the job's done.
I'm curious, where do you see the island heading in the future? And what are your hopes and dreams for this special place?
We have a 2050 vision plan for the island. And one of them is to be energy independent and one of Ireland's first carbon neutral, zero waste islands. And I can really see the change in myself since I've come here. You plan ahead, so there's an awful lot less waste. I would say my waste has gone down to about 15% of what it was in the mainland.
Really?
Yeah, and so we're planning together as a community. We just got a grant to retrofit the club, so we'll use a lot less electricity, but we will also do a community garden together. So we're bringing in an awful lot less of the veg. We'll be self-sustaining in our herbs and our greens. So if it can happen here, where life is that bit harder, it can happen anywhere.
Sinead's insights into the future of Inishturk have truly painted a vivid picture of the island's potential. Now, she's brought me to a cozy gathering spot where I'll have the pleasure of meeting 2 remarkable women who each have a unique connection to the island. Hello, it's lovely to meet you. Sinead has told me so much about the wonderful work that you do on the island.
I am Bree Tini Whelan and I live here on the island and I work and manage community centre here on the island. You are in Inishturk Community Centre. This is the hub of the island. This is where everything happens. This is where it is for the winter months. You run courses, you run craft making things, you do all your keep fit classes, we clear away the tables. And then for the summer months, it turns around into our restaurant, our shop. We've hosted weddings, we've had massive parties. There's a lot of things that have gone on in this building. And we pride ourselves on it. You have to have a beautiful place for somebody to come into. And so, like, when people come here and they come in as guests and they leave as friends.
Yeah.
They leave with this warm feeling that, my God, I'm going to go back.
I understand you have a love story for the ages to share with us, and I'm all ears.
I came here almost 47 years ago from Inishbofin. I met my husband and I moved over here. I fell in love.
So he's from here?
He's from Inishturk, yeah.
Okay.
And I met him playing a football match on Inishbofin. Years ago, when I first came to Inishturk, there was no ferries. It was just the fishing boats. And you'd have to take a chance on, you know, when you'd go to the mainland, the fishing boats would bring you over and pick you up and bring you back again. There was no ferry here until 1997. Then, you know, the size increased. After about 4 years, we had the bigger ferries, the 96-seater ferries, which made life great because we have six children, but when they were ready for secondary school, they went in September, and we mightn't see them again until Halloween, Christmas, Easter. You know, there was no way back for them because there was no regular ferry. So in 1997, that all changed, and they were able to come home every Friday evening and go back every Sunday evening.
Now, Sinead kindly offered to drive me over to the world-famous Inishturk GAA pitch. It is so remote and stunning, and it has been used by big brands like Guinness and Under Armour for major campaigns. We have Sinead's little hatchback, and there's no motorways here, and I'm excited to see what it's like. This is incredible. I can see why they call it the most scenic GAA pitch in Ireland. The views are absolutely breathtaking, and I'm here to meet Mikey O'Toole, and he helps run the club. Hello there, I'm Alison. This is truly something special.
It comes as a surprise to an awful lot of people when they're walking around on the loop here. When they come inside the football pitch, and they can't believe it, there is a football pitch located in this area, which is, it is unique. But it was officially opened in 2014 by Minister Raymond O'Keefe. Big opening ceremony, same day. We had Clare Island as our hosts, but they were the All-Ireland champions at the time, so we hosted them here, and we had a great game of football. Michael and Mahertig did the privilege of doing a commentary on it. No matter where the ball goes out, he says, it'll still come back into play.
And would it be all ages using this pitch then?
Oh,
well?
Yeah. Yeah. All ages, yeah, they are, yeah. The last 2 or 3 years now, it has been a lot of team bonding has happened on the island. Teams coming in.
Yeah.
From Lewisburg, which is great to see.
Would this be the most westerly pitch in Ireland?
I would say so.
Okay, it's safe to say.
Most westerly and the most unique, I think.
Most unique.
Yeah.
You're not alone here, Michael. What's your name?
So my name's Deborah Bennett, and I was working here on Inishturk for the last year and a half as the marketing officer and community liaison, coming from the mainland. So it was a very unique experience for me to be.
Had you been here before you took the job?
Yeah. I've been friends with people from Inishturk for years. I went to school with a lot of people from here as well. So I've always had a grow for Inishturk, and this was kind of, it was something I always wanted to do, to tick off the list. And instead of living here for a summer, I ended up a year and a half. So.
That's amazing though. Yeah. And so what did your role entail then for when you were here?
So I suppose it was kind of to re-establish the marketing of the island. It was something that had kind of gone to the wayside.
Okay.
So just to have a person in there solely marketing the island and sharing it with the world, and it's kind of the forgotten about island, really. It's the small one in the middle of the two, Inishbofin and Clare Island either side, so my aim was to get it out there,
yeah,
as best we could.
But it is like popular, like people are coming, there's like, you know, places to rent, like people are coming to visit.
Yeah, we very busy year this year. People come here in particular kind of from May to the end of September, really. The season has grown, but people are coming here all the time. I actually had the opportunity to play with Inishturk this year in the All Ireland Championship. It was held in Armagh in Donegal. All the ladies from the island, I was the only one living on the island, and there's people that came from all around Ireland, and two travelled, one from Switzerland and one from Amsterdam to play. And yeah, we went on to play. There was 11 ladies teams in it this year. Mikey's grandson is the reason we started the Moss. He wanted to get the team back on its feet because we won back in 2012 as well.
You won this though, right?
We won, yeah, we won the All-Irelands. But yeah, so it was an amazing opportunity. And I suppose, like, I'm not from the island, but for the people, like, people that are from the island, it meant so much. Hot.
Now it's time to meet those at the heart of the island and its future, the kids.
Welcome to Inishturk!
The sound of those happy voices lead us into St. Columba's National School, a truly unique learning environment. It has only three pupils in the whole school, Jessica, Amelia and Saoirse. They are from different years and I'm excited to meet these young islanders and hear about their perspectives on life on Inishturk. Hello everyone, I'm Alison. Can you introduce yourselves?
I'm Jessica and I'm 9 years old.
I'm Saoirse and I'm 8 years old.
I'm Amelia and I'm 7 years old.
Me and Saoirse are sisters and she's our first cousin.
So I'm not great at Irish, but let me see if I can test you on yours.
Pup is cat.
Okay.
Madra is dog.
Yes.
What's cow?
I know pig. Oh, bull. And muck.
Weira is a sheep.
Yes, you have lots of those on this island.
Yeah.
They're very chatty, I like that.
Yeah, I don't know where they get it from. My name is Joe Whelan and I'm Saoirse and Jessica's dad.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on the school and how your children are enjoying their time here.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite daunting actually, because when Jessica started, there were three in the school and those three left and she was only four and there was nobody else, you know. So Jessica actually spent a few months in the school here on her own. You know, from an island perspective, they've been kind of used to that maybe for the last 10 or 15 years or so. Like, it's been down to two or three or four, you know.
But not as much, like, there were points in history where it was, like, up to 40.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's in precarious territory now at the moment, you know.
They seem really, really happy.
They absolutely skip out the door every morning, you know. They love it, you know. I guess they get all of that.
Yeah.
Like the time, you know. They get that time. They get that individual time with each other and with Anne as well, you know.
Yeah.
It's really... they explore so much, like, you know.
We could tell the second we got here that Anne has a lovely relationship with them.
Absolutely.
Like, very collaborative.
Yeah.
She's like, do you want to do this? What do you guys think about that? Like, which maybe can't be achieved when there's more students sometimes.
I remember, you know, myself, like, going to school, you know, 30 in a class.
It sounds like a wonderful environment for learning and for growth. But as a parent, is there anything you really worry about regarding the future of the school?
I guess from the stability aspect of the school, you know, I mean, with 5 or 6 years left, you know, like, that's there's no
kids younger,
right? No, there's no babies, there's no more babies, there's no younger kids. Yeah, we've been at this like 10 years later, we're still here,
exactly.
You know. So, you know, there's always
there's something on your mind for sure, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. Absolutely. And I know Sinead is working, you know, hard as development manager, you know. Like, housing is a huge issue, you know. Look, if there were houses here, if there were available houses here, you know, you'd have young families here. I don't doubt it one bit, you know. I don't doubt it one bit.
This school is so charming. I'm eager to learn more about it.
I'm Anne McLaughlin. I'm the principal here in Inishturk, in St. Columba's National School.
Do you feel like the kids are excelling in this unique school?
I'll be honest, I've hit a point here where I'm thinking, whoops, by the time these kids get to 5th, 6th class, will not be able to teach them, because their mathematical ability is amazing. Like, they're constantly looking at the environment.
Yes.
In terms of their awareness of what's around them,
it's incredible.
Like, it's all mathematically based.
That's incredible.
And it is. It's fabulous.
Two things I wanted to ask you about is, one, like, with the big screen here, you do connect to mainland schools and do Zoom classes together. So it's not like they're not
you know, interacting.
No, and I mean, that has become a big aspect of my teaching here, yeah, is the outreach element, because they're very able little girls. They are engaging constantly with family. Yeah. I think, you know, you kind of think, oh, they're very isolated, but no, they're not. They're more used to engaging with adults. They're more used to it. Like, it doesn't matter if they're engaging with a 2-year-old mm-hmm. or a 90-year-old. Their ability to engage is there. And I think that comes from the environment they're living and working in.
And something else, Anne, that's come up a lot is that the reality is that there isn't a secondary school on the island.
No.
So that the students, when they graduate from here, are going to the mainland for a long period of time.
I went to school in Claremorris back in the day, and it was a boarding school. And the girls that went to boarding school, in later life, they were the ones, they nothing fazed them, nothing mm-hmm. daunted them. And like these girls here, they learned how to rely on each other.
Uh-huh.
I think you can really get to know the kids exceptionally well, and they get to know you well.
I'm on my way home, and to say this has been an adventure would be an understatement. Myself and Sinead are on our way back to the ferry, and I have one last question. I'm curious, what would you say are the biggest positives of living on such a remote location?
I would say for me, the absolute beauty of this island is my job can be stressful. There's a lot to do.
Yeah.
You walk out of the office, you walk down the road, the stress drops off you. And you can call into any house and have a chat. And then you drop into the old stories and the old ways.
The older yeah. ways of communicating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a different rhythm to it.
Yeah.
So you work hard, but then when you relax, like the game 45 when it wins tonight,
yeah,
all the stress, it disappears, and you're just there for the crack.
Yeah.
And that really,
that.
And it's the sense of humour of the people on the island as well. I do believe I've laughed more on this island than in my other 48 years collectively, yeah.
As I prepare to leave Inishturk, I am filled with a sense of awe and gratitude. Upon arriving, the first thing that struck me is the wild, rugged, and pristine landscape. Only a short ferry trip, but a world away. This small island community has shown me the true meaning of resilience and the unwavering power of human connection. From the warm welcome of the islanders to the breathtaking scenery and the inspiring stories for those who call this place home, Inishturk has captured a special place in my heart. There's an otherworldliness on Irish islands that you won't get anywhere else in the world. It is truly a journey back in time to an untouched wild beauty. It's a reminder that even in the most remote corners of the world, community spirit can thrive, traditions can be preserved, and dreams can be realized. Thank you, Inishturk, for sharing your magic with me. My Town is presented by me, Alison Curtis. Audio and visuals by Cathal O'Sullivan. Scripting and sound design by Lachlan Hart. Researcher, Shannon Kenny. Executive producer, Mark Lenihan. This project is co-funded by Commission Naman under the Sound and Vision Scheme.